San Diego Comic-Con, and let me tell you, it's big. It's really, really big. I mean, you might have thought Otakon or whatever has been, no. It's like 125,000 people or some ridiculous number. And it's also sold out. And preview night was really crowded. It turned out perhaps more crowded than the regular day. Also, compared to an anime con, there's not a lot of cosplay. I'd say like less than 10% of attendees are actually wearing costumes. Apparently Saturday is the cosplay day. Because of the masquerade. All right, Allison's going to tell her story about waiting in the wrong line.
So I got up really early this morning, and I was excited about this, because I thought, I'll get up, I'll get my badge, it'll be great, I'll have a nice, full, long day. So I walk over to the convention, and I ask around, because I want to make sure I get in the right line. So I ask all the people, and they're like, no, this is badge buying, and no, this is volunteers. And I'm like, okay, don't get in the volunteer line. So I walk around, and then I asked some people, was this the line for pre-registered? And they're like, what? I'm like, you know, like I had to pick up my badge here, pre-registration. They're like, oh, yeah. So I get in line, and I should have noticed that most of the people in the line were teenagers. In fact, they were almost all teenagers. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I'm like, wow, there don't seem to be a lot of nerds in this line. What the hell? Maybe they're all locals. Maybe those are the only people who can get here early. So I wait for an hour and a half in that line. And then finally, as people are starting to get crowded around me, but not in the line that I'm in, I finally find a staff person and snag them. I'm like, is this the right line for pre-registration? And they say, no, this is the line for volunteers. Pre-registration is over there, and they point. And the pre-registration line, I started walking down it and saw a Toph cosplayer that I had seen a half an hour ago, way down the line, and I'm like, fuck this. So I went to have breakfast. And I drowned my sorrows in eggs. And then I went to go get in the pre-registration line. Now, I don't know what the line was like when you got into it, Aaron. But when I got into the line, I went all the way around the corner of the building, around some sculptures that are on the side of the building, all the way around the back, halfway down the building, in the back of the building, like past the garage. That's a very, very, very long line.
Now, when Allison says in the back of the building, what you have to understand is this building is huge. Like, you know those airplanes that they use to carry tanks? Yeah, you could park, like, lots of those inside of the convention center. The size of, like, two aircraft carriers. It's a big building. No, I didn't have to wait in any line since I was press and I showed up kind of late. I just walked up to the counter and I was like, give me my press badge. And they were like, there you go. But you'll notice I'm losing my voice, and that's good for, you know, networking and meeting people. No, it's because Otakon was the week before, and Noah got a cold because he didn't sleep enough, and he gave me his cold. I was doing fine. I got enough sleep. It was going so well. And then Noah got sick, and then he gave me his illness, which I seem to have averted somewhat by drinking generic Airborne and zinc, but Noah is much worse off.
First day of the convention. We're in the hotel. Mike Dent is here.
Waffle?
Fuck that. Let's go get waffles. There we go.
You mean people listen to the show?
I know. Wasn't there a shock?
No.
I know.
Holy shit.
I know. This means something. We could actually get big here. I mean, I'm betting by the end of this con, we maybe have 5, maybe 10 listeners at the most.
Wow. Oh, my God.
People say bad things about Char, but it's okay, because I have Reese's for breakfast.
We found we had 10,000 downloads for one show, and it was a show where we talked with this guy named Tim Eldred about, this was a North Star, and he worked on Teen Titans, and we got a lot of people looking for Teen Fisting. they got the wrong sort of show.
Seki Tomokazu desu. R5 セントラルは最高だぜ。
このバッジは私のメモリー。 Coming soon. R5 Central. Otakon Graffiti. Episode 42. Industry. Episode 43. Song. Look forward to it.
最初からクライマックスだぜ。
Do you want to say anything, Ed?
Well, I didn't get to experience line hell at all. I only had one person in front of me at line yesterday afternoon, because I also got to go through the press area. But I did get a huge, mongous-ass book today for free, Tech on Concrete. Little plug for some very nicely done manga. It's going to come out in a couple of months. It's available if you got the right hookup. It's something to brag about, to be honest. Particularly when you're talking to your boss at a Viz panel, and rather significant members of that organization are going to ignore your boss momentarily to talk to you. So, absolutely. Pretty entertaining first day, I guess. Also tough to buy. I almost bought too much today, but really prevented myself from purchasing anything that was vinyl or thing that wasn't print. But then again, I'm really trying to strive to be a rather specialized otaku, so see how that works. Oh, the 100 magazines and 60 minutes panel was actually very entertaining. Well, relatively informative, but I have to say, and just because this is going to be on the internet, that unfortunately Jason Thompson was wrong at one point this afternoon. I wasn't able to tell that to his face. Lan Magazine is not written and created by Koike. That was actually done by Takao Saito, the person who created Gogo 13. Just as hardcore a seinen manga creator, possibly just as old, possibly just as deranged, but not Kazuo Koike. He created magazine Jin, which I happen to have sitting around here.
So did you bring all those manga magazines for the panel, or did you buy them here?
Yeah, I did. I brought around 10 magazines. Unfortunately, there was a little bit of technical difficulties at the start of the event, and Jason was kind of looking around for AV help, so I didn't really have any time to put out. We were supposed to hand out the flyers beforehand, the samplers, and as well as maybe pass around the books, the magazines, I should say. Weren't able to do any of that. He kind of just started his shtick a little early without even having a PowerPoint presentation. And once AV came in, he was able to start that up. You know, he lost around 15 minutes of those 60 that he needed for that 160 feet. But it worked.
Did you what panels did you record for the MangaCast?
Well, we recorded that 100 magazines in 60 minutes panel. We also recorded a panel for Viz Media this afternoon. Unfortunately, you won't have any news about Naruto. That's not until Saturday. So I guess you can turn off this podcast now. we also had a couple of interviews with some editors today, CMX, and did a little walkthrough with the editor from Fanfare as well. So.
Did you talk to anyone from Dark Horse?
No, you know, but actually, it's kind of funny. Even though I do have issues with Dark Horse right now, you know, Dark Horse actually tried this year at Comic Con. Normally, they usually you can't tell the manga apart from their science fiction. They in the past really don't give a shit, I guess, as far as marketing was concerned. But now they've come up with this idea, this new slogan that they're kind of pushing, which is not necessarily appropriate. They call themselves the Otaku's Choice now. And I don't necessarily know if... I guess there are some otaku out there that might appreciate the wallflower. Or... Yes, Del Rey. Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about Del Rey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're calling because they have Genshin?
Oh, yeah. Quite possibly. And Air Gear.
Make sure I can hear myself. No, they're calling themselves the Tiger's Choice because they have Genshin and Air. But yeah, Wallflower?
I mean, there's some of the titles that they have aren't necessarily very otaku friendly. I mean, Kurogane, in the first place, is crap, but it's not very accessible to the average otaku. It's very cathartic type of story. This is a title written by Tomei Kei, who's better known for Lament of the Lamb. And it's about this young little samurai who ends up passing away and now has basically a steel body. And he's able to kill with even greater efficiency. Basically, he goes chapter to chapter, killing. It's not drawn very well. There isn't very much of a plot. It's extremely episodic. At the same time, it's, I think, around 5 volumes long, which is 4 volumes too long, if you ask me. And they also have a bunch of titles that they just announced from a very, very new magazine from Kodansha called Sirius. And stylistically, they're pretty good looking titles, but as far as any narrative or even character development, quite lacking. But of course, this magazine, also being a monthly, a lot of these titles are maybe 1 or 2 volumes long, so they haven't even had any chance to mature. And the characters really get fleshed out at all. So kind of weird to see Del Rey taking even chances on these kind of risky titles instead of going for actual otaku titles. It would be good, would be apropos to their new moniker. Well, examples, let's see. This would be a really otaku title, which I would really doubt that Del Rey would even take a chance on, but Akagi is a title that author has worked with Kodansha before. Let's see. Oh, Okiko Furukabute is actually a title that's really popular in Japan, but of course it's a baseball title. For that very same reason, it has tremendous crossover appeal. So most of its readers are actually fujoshi, are actually women, because they end up taking the 9 young men in this high school drama and just pairing them up. Kodansha is one of those publishers that they can have otaku friendly titles, but generally speaking, they stick to a certain type of story, kind of like the Samurai Deeper Kyo's of the world, which aren't necessarily very appealing to a lot of people, or the Raves. At the same time, Tokyopop is still releasing those titles, so go out and get them.
Am I awake or do I dream? The strangest pictures I have seen. Otaku USA Magazine.
Hello, everyone. We're here today looking over the second issue of the magazine Otaku USA, and by gum, it's quite a lark.
In spite of their attempts to control it, the Earthlings don't know what to do. They're so ignorant.
Of course, it's nothing like a proper British periodical, but we all know how American magazines tend to be a bit far from and do things quite queerly, but nevertheless, let's do a quick flip through and see what they've got cooking.
You take the Japanese, for instance. They're buying hotels, office buildings, golf courses. They're taking over.
They've got an editorial with a sprightly-looking chap and some altered shades. Patrick Macias is his name, and he appears to be more than a simple curiosity. I'd like to dig deeper, but there's no time because the stage didn't sit for...
These are dull comic books, Kazuko. Men read them on the train in the office.
Letters, and what lucky letters these are. We've got some Nay and Yatesay as chiming in on issue 1, which, as far as I can see, this is leagues beyond.
Isn't that mean and nasty?
From there, it looks like a kaleidoscope of otaku goodies from the Japanese Mega Mac to some proper anime reviews right up front.
Right up front?
Right up front, you heard me, right before Jason Thompson lays out his manga knowledge with a bevy of reviews for us to peruse, and we're assaulted by a very essential piece on Tekkon Concrete.
You see what fun this is? It's going to get really exciting.
It's like staring into space, a world of wonder. We're talking giant robots, small robots, Death Notes, manga sets, the fabulous posters, Freedom the World, Shitari Shinomori, Steven Spielberg, Gunbuster 2, Kara's live action reviews, television games, and of course toys and a look at the roots of J-pop.
I want to get a closer look at Godzilla. Like to come along?
I feel I've been faint here, folks, so I'm going to curl up and read further. Good night.
See your prayers.
My ninja trick!
That's funny. I guess on preview night, I got a copy of The Adventures of Dr. McNinja, which is a webcomic that I have not really read, despite our ninja-related podcast. But it was interesting to meet the guy who makes it. Penny Arcade is here, and they had their massive booth of t-shirts, which are hard to buy online because they're often out of stock. But they're really cool, so I bought an awesome Life Meter sweatshirt and a Guitar Hero shirt for my brother. And there's a lot of webcomic type of, like, presence here, and other web-related goods like the Suicide Girls, and it was kind of weird to see them live and in person. And then we were waiting at a restaurant for a table, and this girl came up to us, and she was like, tarts? And we're like, excuse me? And she was like, oh, sorry, I was looking for someone else. So then she was seated at a table nearby us. It was like a huge table that was all girls, and some of them had very interesting colored hair and corsets and things. So indeed, that was the Tarts group, which I assume is online somewhere, and they were meeting each other. There was also this weird, so I had this coworker who had this awesome bag with these weird designs on it that looked strangely Japanese in a way, or like something like you'd see at the Kid Robot store, sort of. But apparently it's by some design company that's called Tokidoki. So there was some booth here selling a bunch of their stuff, but not the bags, although the whole booth was covered in girls of a wide range of ages who were all crazy for this products and designs, and they were selling, stickers and t-shirts and stationery and weird things.
It's a whole design house, and it is very popular, and they've got, like, a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just what they have here, but they've got, like, tons and tons of other stuff, too. It's very design-based. It's a lot of graphic design. Kind of like the more designy things that you see sometimes on Threadless, like, you know, it's, like, a whole bunch of stuff agglomerated together, and, yeah. So, yeah, they're very well-known and very popular.
Is it several designers or just one? Because they were having a signing with, like, this one dude.
I believe it's more than one designer. They put out a lot of stuff. I can't imagine that one designer does everything. That would be a lot of work.
But it was totally mobbed with people with this crazy look in their eyes, which I also had. And I was also willing to lay down, like, twice as much as I normally would for a t-shirt because their t-shirts were freaking awesome. And the coolest people were, like, behind the counter. It was ridiculous. I can only describe it as a sort of, like, almost a throwback to some kind of My Little Pony style craze of madness over cute items with stars and rainbows and weird creatures on them. But more appealing to all ages. Because, you know, maybe there's blood and skulls, too. Whatever. Do you have anything to say? Did you do anything at the con? Dan met Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis. He's apparently gained some weight. We also discovered that Dallas Mitta of Del Rey lives, like, 6 blocks from our house. We live on 3rd Street. He lives on 12th Street. Whatever. It could be in Manhattan. It could be in Queens. They don't know.
That's true.
Actually, it's probably really obvious. So between which avenues? There was a time when Maggie drove to our house using GPS. She went to the wrong address of the same number on some other part, on a different 3rd Street. So, it's not as easy as you think.
I have something I need to say about this convention. I have discovered that perhaps this is my convention of destiny. Because it is not only huge and large as a convention should be, but everything here is actually interesting. And when I think, this panel looks interesting. Maybe I should go to it. You know what? I should. Because it's going to be a good panel. All the panels I went to today were good. It was like I was in a parallel dimension. It was bizarre. And everybody's really nice. Like, con staff, if you're going the wrong way, they say, hey, I'm sorry, you have to go the other way. Instead of, yo, go the other way. Or, what, can you not read the sign? Go the other fucking way. No. They're, like, very polite and apologetic. Like, we're sorry you're a moron and can't read the sign. But they don't actually say that. They just might be thinking it privately. No, it's totally great. Traffic is managed nicely, and why can't all cons be like this, except on the East Coast?
I'll tell you the answer, and the answer is money. Clearly there's more money at stake at this con, and it's a wider-ranging audience than most smaller anime cons, and so there's a higher stake in having the panels actually start on time in the room that they're scheduled to start in. There aren't a bunch of schedule changes here, which I can't say I was expecting. And there's a very complicated system of line control that it said wasn't in place last year, but it's also the case that in the years that San Diego Comic-Con has been going on, the manga events in particular used to be very small. Someone at the Viz panel, who was the head editor of Viz, said at the beginning of it, he was like, man, I remember the first year we did a Viz panel here, and, like, we only filled the front row of the room. This time, it was filling the whole room, and a huge line out the door. Also, when Ed was bragging about Tekken Concrete in front of his boss, he was actually kissing the book. It was pretty disgusting.
It's a beautiful book!
It is a beautiful book, but you were, like, making fun of them by licking it.
I was not making fun of the book.
He was making fun of his boss. To be fair. No. There was no tongue. He wouldn't want to ruin the book that way.
No. I love the book too much for giving it my tongue.
Apparently my feature article on Tekken Concrete will be out in the next issue of Otaku USA. Which should be out, I don't know, next month? Something like that?
It should be out in like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you shipped it, so in a couple of weeks. Probably by the time I put this podcast out. Unless I am really inspired and post it really soon. Then it should be out in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.